This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from the first verse of Surah Al-Waqi'ah, page number 545 of the Sahih International Translation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةُ لَيْسَ لِوَقَعَتِهَا كَاذِبَةٌ خَافِضَةٌ رَافِعَةٌ إِذَا رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ رَجَّا وَبُسَّتِ الْجِبَالُ بَسَّا فَكَانَتْ هَبَاءً مُنْبَثًّا وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثَةً فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك مترفين وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم وكانوا يقولون أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئنا لمبعوثون أو آباؤنا الأولون قل إن الأولين والآخرين لمجموعون إلى ميقات يوم معلوم ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكذبون لآكلون من شجر من زقوم فمالئون منها البطون فشاربون عليه من الحميم فشاربون شرب الهيم هذا نزلهم يوم الدين
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him upon all conditions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. May Allah bless them all and bless every single one of us. Ameen. My mothers and sisters, this is Surah Al-Waqi'ah. I'm sure a lot of us would be reading the surah on a regular basis. It has in it some powerful meaning and it draws our attention to many issues of the unseen and many questions related to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we were to answer them, we would realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah commences by making mention of the day of resurrection, al-waqi'ah, meaning the day of the event. So Allah says, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ, when the event or the occurrence takes place. When the occurrence occurs, when the event will take place. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about the day of resurrection. So Allah says, لَيْسَ لِوَقَعَتِهَا كَاذِبَةِ, there is no denial regarding its occurrence. There will be no denial. It will happen and it's going to come. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَافِضَةٌ رَافِعَةٌ, it will bring down some and raise up others. Today on earth you see people looking very, very high in terms of status or rank or wealth or clout or whatever else it is, even religiously. And sometimes on that day it might be the other way around. Those whom you didn't really think would be holy, pious, close to Allah would probably be there. Who knows? So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us it will bring down some and raise up some others. So Allah says, when the earth is shaken with convulsion, when the earth will be totally shaken with terrible shakes, a terrible shake, Allah says, إِذَا رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ رَجًّا, it will be shaken in a severe way, very, very severe. The earth will be shaken completely. وَبُسَّتِ الْجِبَالُ بَسًّا, Allahu Akbar, and the mountains are broken down, crumbling. They will come down crumbling, literally. وَكَانَتْ هَبَاءً مُنْبَثًا, they will become dust, dispersing. Just imagine a huge mountain crumbling and becoming dust completely, dispersing. And you become of three kinds. You will fall into three different categories. وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا, you will fall into three different categories. Then Allah explains these three categories. The first one, Allah says, the companions of the right. What are the companions of the right? Who are these companions of the right? Those given the records in their right hand will be destined for paradise. Allah says, those. What are the companions of the right? And the companions of the left, what are the companions of the left? So that's the second category. Those will be the ones who will receive their book on the left hand, or in the left hand. They will be destined for hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from those. And the third group of people, as-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon, the forerunners, the forerunners. Who are the forerunners? So there is an explanation. The words can also be understood as a complete sentence. The forerunners in good deeds are forerunners in entering paradise. وَالسَّابِقُونَ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ هُمُ السَّابِقُونَ فِي دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ, those who were forerunners when it came to doing good deeds, those who rushed when it came to doing good deeds, whenever something was supposed to take place in order to please Allah, they were quick to do it. So they will be as quick, if not quicker, to enter paradise. That's one of the meanings of this beautiful verse. All it says is, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. So when you get up for Salatul Fajr in haste, and when you get up quickly, without people having to really bother you and wake you up for half an hour before you lazily get up, you need to understand, السَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. If you are a forerunner in Salatul Fajr, in the pleasure of Allah, in pleasing Allah, in your dress code, in giving up sin, you will be a forerunner on that day in entering Jannah. Simple. What a powerful verse. It's just two words. Look at how deep it is in meaning. As-sabiquna, as-sabiquna. Those who are forerunners will be forerunners on the Day of Judgment. And all it means here is, and the forerunners, twice. Allah says, those are the ones brought near to Allah. They were near to Allah in this world. They will be near to Allah in the hereafter. They tried to get close to Allah here, so they will definitely be physically close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning they will be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than others. In the gardens of paradise, in the gardens of pleasure, fi jannatin na'im, there will be pleasure there, lots of gifts, anything you want, as we spoke about last week. A large company of the former people and a few of later people. Now this is quite scary. Allah says the numbers of those who are going to be in paradise, a large number of former people, meaning people from the previous nations, large numbers. And there will be a few from the later people, those to follow, few. Now obviously the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were worried, they were concerned, just like myself and yourselves, we would be worried. How come there's going to be a large number from the previous people and a small number from us? But Allah continues and He describes before He gives us another gift. He says, on thrones woven with ornament, reclining on them facing each other. This is just comfort. This is like you've gone on your holiday home, you know, reclining, beautiful, facing each other, facing those you love, and really enjoying yourself, looking at the scenery, enjoying the fruit and the veg and people serving you, the servants and so on. But this is obviously on a much, much higher scale, something that is totally beyond our imagination. So Allah says, they will circulate among them young boys made eternal with vessels, pitchers and cups and a cup of wine from a flowing spring. Wine refers to pure fruit juice. Wine is not what you see in the market today, that which they call wine. That is actually a misnomer. To be honest, it's made up later on. The biblical wine and in the scriptures, what is made mention of is pure fruit juice. That's wine. So when they say Jesus drank wine, they're not referring to what you get here in the market, which makes you a little bit here and there. It is actually an intoxicating drink. But this is pure fruit juice. So Jesus did drink pure fruit juice, and so did Moses, may peace be upon them all. Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Allah is promising this to the people of Jannah. And obviously another verse says there will never be anything intoxicating in paradise, which confirms the meaning of the term wine. It can never be intoxicating. As time passed, they changed the term to mean wine. And this has happened with the English language and with other languages, where a term begins to be used for something different later on, and it becomes like that. For example, the word gay. If you were to say Jesus was gay, you would actually be meaning he was happy. And if you were to be meaning people of aforetime, even people before 1960, if they were gay, they were very happy people, mashallah. And today if you say gay, nobody will even think about the term happy. I don't think the new generation even know that it can refer to something in terms of happiness. The same applies to the term wine. And the same applies to thousands of other terms that have been changed over time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us an understanding. So Allah says, no headache will they have therefrom. They will have no intoxicating effect, no alcohol in it, alcoholic content. No headache will they have therefrom, nor will they be intoxicated. لا فيها غول ولا هم عنها ينزفون. Allah speaks about them not being intoxicated by this drink. And fruit of what they select. Now the difference between the fruit juice and the fruit itself is the texture. That one is liquid and one is solid. So one is liquid before you put it in your mouth already, and the other becomes liquid after you chew it. So Allah says, fruit of whatever they select, you select what you want, you will have. And the meat of fowl from whatever they desire. وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ, the meat of birds. Whatever types of beautiful meat, it's called something, but what actually you will get is something mind-boggling. Something that you will be very impressed by, definitely. So Allah speaks about it being meat of a bird. Now, do you know if any one of us have had birds, the smaller they get, the less meat there is, the more bone they probably is, and it becomes difficult because those bones can actually hurt you when you're chewing and so on. You might miss one or two, and suddenly, like fish bones, they begin to trouble you in your mouth. But when it comes to the bird described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the meat of Jannah, it will be the best thing ever to be able to put into your mouth. It will find its way into your mouth according to some narrations, and at the same time you will just be chewing something as per your liking. If you don't want to chew, it will be chewed for you and it will go down, subhanallah. Don't ask me how. But that is Allah. It's a beautiful description. It's something really good. You know, sometimes you put in marshmallow in your mouth and suddenly it melts in your mouth and you just have the feeling, you just leave it on your tongue. And some people want to bite it. They want to chew it. They want to enjoy the texture of biting through marshmallow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness of the food of Jannah. Ameen. So Allah says, and for them are, again, the hurs, the hur. And we spoke about this last week. I'm not going to go into the detail once again. But you can, I'm sure the talk is online. You can search for it and you will be able to understand what we were saying last week regarding the hur. With large, beautiful eyes. Now, one young man asked me a question. What if I don't like large eyes? Well, you will have what you want. Don't worry. What if you don't like fair women? Well, you can have a dark woman. So there's nothing wrong, really. A complexion, some people like fair-skinned people, others like dark-skinned people, and this is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just the liking that Allah has kept in people, so it does not necessarily mean fair-skinned. When Allah says, وَحُورٌ عِينٌ, Allah is speaking of the hur, the ideal partner for you. So Allah says, the likeness of pearls, well protected. If you look at well protected pearls, jewelry, whatever you'd like, something you would like. You know, there was a time when people used to like when people used to like jewelry that had a lot of detail in it. Very detailed jewelry, a lot of detail. And too many little, you know, diamonds or little stones on it. And now, a lot of the people prefer something quite simple, you know, something that's just straightforward, it looks decent and it doesn't have too much of detail. So it depends on your liking. There are still people who like the detailed one, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, the likeness of pearls, well protected, and this is definitely connected to your liking. It's connected to what you would like there. They will not hear therein ill speech or commission of sin. No one will say anything vulgar, anything derogatory, you won't feel bad, and nobody will say anything to hurt you, and at the same time you won't see sin, you won't hear of sin, nothing to do with sin. In fact, it's impossible to commit sin in paradise because everything is permissible. Everything that crosses your mind is allowed. Now, here in this world we listen to things that hurt us. My mothers and sisters, I was told by someone 2 days ago that they happened to pass a comment to someone who was much older speaking about their weight. Now, you know, weight is something very, very sensitive, extremely sensitive. The only time people would be happy at heavy weight is when they're talking about real gold, subhanAllah. Otherwise, even if someone is looking so unhealthy, just to put a smile on their face, tell them, you've lost weight. And they're like excited, subhanAllah, really? And they know you're lying, but they just feel so good. They start blushing about it, mashallah. Even if it's 200 grams, trust me, the women will be excited, subhanAllah. Stop eating samosas, mashallah. So my mothers and sisters, we get so offended when someone says you're looking unhealthy. But what if they're telling you the truth? Don't get offended. We become so upset. Sometimes our children, our relatives, our nephews, our nieces, whoever they are, if they've commented about our weight and we stop talking to them for a long, long time, we start plotting and planning against them. This happens. And this is from shaitan, because shaitan is making you think that it's all rotating around something to do with you. Anyway, getting back to why we're saying this is because offensive statements will not be heard in Jannah. Nobody's going to tell you, you're fat, you're thin, you're ugly, you're this, you're that. Zero. You're not going to hear anything of that nature, because it's not going to be possible to say anything negative, because there's nothing negative. So one of the beautiful explanations here, or words of encouragement, is if Jannah is a place where there is no sin committed and there are no vulgar statements or hurtful words, then those who want to get to Jannah, from here they better start doing that. They better start abstaining from sin and they better start not hurting people with their mouths. So my mothers and sisters, who you live with to start with, tell them things that will make them love you. Speak to them nicely. Speak to them. Appreciate what they've done. Tell them, I really appreciate the effort you've made to look after me or to serve the home or whatever you're doing. Or if it's your child, you tell them, you know, it's such a lovely biscuit that you've just made. Subhanallah. Even if the salt is a little bit wrong, don't only pick on when it's wrong. Say, look, no problem. It's better to have less salt than to have more, because you can at least put some salt in where there's no salt. When there's too much, sometimes you might not be able to do something about it. So I really don't mind even if there's no salt in the food. Wow. How about looking at it that way? So now when you get into Jannah, you would have been from among those who considered the feelings of others when you spoke. So definitely you would deserve nobody saying anything negative. And where will you get that? Only in Jannah. So Allah may give you Jannah just because you were careful with your tongue, with the people you lived with, the people who worked for you. Allahu Akbar. Those who work for you at home, tell them good things. Say, no, mashallah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Muslimin, jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward you, recompense you. Subhanallah. My mothers and sisters, think hard about what I'm saying. It affects us every day. We say things without realizing. We say it with a good heart, but not everybody receives it the way we think we've said it. So people might say, just ignore it, you know. Don't worry, that's your mother-in-law. Just ignore it. She's got a good heart. Good heart, but you're swearing me F's and B's with a good heart. Come on, man. Relax. You know, they make food. Even if you're not going to eat it, at least say, no, mashallah, it was a good effort. Learn to appreciate. See how your home becomes a mini paradise. Subhanallah. People will love the atmosphere because nobody's at each other's throats. There's so much of love. People make mistakes. Who doesn't make mistakes? You don't have to, you know, the world will not come to an end just because I made a little blunder or you did. No. But your house can become a hell because of the way you reacted to the mistakes of your relatives, those whom you live with, your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your in-laws, whoever else, those who work for you. You don't have to get so excited because they made a mistake. So what? When you die, they will remember you to say, you know, this person, may Allah give them Jannah. Whenever I made mistakes, I broke the pots, I broke the glasses, I burnt the food. They always said, don't worry, my child. It's okay, never mind. So long as you're not hurt, that's okay. Subhanallah. They'll make dua for you when you're gone. They will make a lot of dua for you. They will cry when you're gone. But the way we operate, they're probably waiting to have a party the day we leave. Astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me to start with. Really, I need to rectify myself. Hey, that doesn't mean I'm a bad egg. It's just that we all need to think that no matter how good you think you are, there is room for improvement. Don't sit back and think, hey, you know what? I think I'm good enough. I'm probably the best. No ways. Don't ever think that. Never. That's shaitan now trying to make you brag or think big of yourself when there is room for improvement. Always. So imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, they will not hear therein ill speech or commission of sin. Only a saying of peace, peace, subhanallah. Illa qilan salaman salama. The only thing they will hear is peace and peace. Peaceful statements, peaceful words, words referring directly to peace. The word peace itself, that's the greeting of the people of Jannah. They will just hear peace and goodness. They will feel peace and goodness. They will be happy completely. And this is why if you want a little paradise here in this dunya, you just need to be easygoing and as close as possible to Allah, improving yourself, being kind to the rest of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your doors. Then Allah says, the companions of the right. What are the companions of the right? They will be among lot trees with thorns removed and banana trees layered with fruit. Different types of fruit. It looks like a banana tree, but what's on it is not necessarily a banana. Different fruits layered, subhanallah. Imagine, pause for a moment and think. Imagine just... Try and imagine a banana tree and it has on it pears and apples and plums and watermelon and whatever else you want. MashaAllah. Imagine, just imagine that. You can't really imagine because we're not yet in Jannah. SubhanAllah. But when you get there, you'll have something looking really amazing, unique. And not just one banana or not just one strawberry. And not the strawberries of this world. Something, you know, A grade. You know, I remember the fruit. When you buy fruit, they tell you that the best of your fruit has actually already been exported. I don't know if you've heard that. So they tell you what you're getting is actually the second grade. Imagine if the second grade is so good, I wonder what the first grade would be like. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And imagine if this is first grade, top fruit, what would the fruit of Jannah be like? I'm sure all of us have tasted some fruit somewhere in our lives that we've really thought was the best we've ever had. Subhanallah. You know those beautiful, sweet, threadless mangoes. You know what threadless means, yeah? Beautiful ones, you know, that you slice out a big chunk of it, you know, and you just put it in your mouth, and the next thing you know is, mashallah, tabarakallah. Imagine what will be in Jannah, subhanallah. Layered with fruit. These trees, looking like banana trees, will be layered with different fruit and shade extended. Now, banana tree does not provide a lot of shade, to be honest with you, as much as other trees would because of the nature of its leaves. But Allah says, shade extended, not only from those trees, but different types of shade by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and mercy and power. And Allah says, and water poured out completely. So it's water. It's not just ordinary water, but it's poured out. And fruit abundant and varied. Look at how many times Allah is speaking about fruit. And this is why in a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, the fruit of paradise will look like some fruit of perhaps the dunya, but it will not taste the same. It will taste better. Or it will be having similar names, but it will be totally different. So if you say a banana of the dunya and a banana of Jannah, they will be two different things, but they had the same name. Water poured, and fruit abundant and varied, neither limited to season nor forbidden. So it's not limited in quality, quantity, or timing. It's not limited. You can have how much you want, you can have exactly the best type you want, as much as you want, and whenever you want. Subhanallah. And nothing forbidden. You know, there was forbidden fruit in heaven before, that was as a test for Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah called it Jannatul Ibtila, or it was called Jannatul Ibtila, the garden of testing. It was just for Adam alayhi salam. So Allah is confirming that that will not be there. Nothing will be forbidden there. The test is over. Your purpose of creation has already materialized. And then Allah says, and upon beds raised high, indeed we have produced them, the hur, in a new creation. Here again Allah is speaking of the hur. We have made them virgins. Now the term used here, uruban atraban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously has used that term. The English language is not qualified to translate the term of the Arabic language, uruban atraban. But there are many attempts of how to, or of translating this and how to explain it to people. However, we will only understand the true meaning of it in Jannah. And like I said, no need to be stressed and upset, because each person will get whatever satisfies them, whatever makes them extremely happy, the happiest ever. They will never ever look at another person or something else and desire for what they have. They won't. In Jannah, you will never desire for what someone else has. The reason is, you will have it or better than it. So Allah says, devoted to their husbands of an equal age. Now, we spoke about the women of the dunya, and we did say that Allah will make them exactly as they wish to be made, and Allah will grant them whatever they wish to be granted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them absolutely everything. But one thing we didn't make mention of is the age. So how old will I be? Today, for example, some of us are 30, 40, 50, some might have got to 60, mashallah, a few might have got to 70, one, two might have got to 80, and perhaps one might have got to 90, and that's about it. I don't know of anyone beyond the age of 110 in our community. So, when a person passes away, it's not like they're going to be resurrected upon their last age, because your age was a figure that was different from the others. You will be resurrected at the peak, the best. And the body you will get is different from the body you have right now. It will be perfect, absolutely perfect, perfection. You know, no more moisturizer, no more whatever else, you know, no more worried about, how am I going to go out? I'm looking so bad, and so on. You know the words, yeah? No more of all that. You look absolutely stunning. MashaAllah. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. 33 years old, tall as ever, beautiful. MashaAllah. Come alive, gorgeous, not drop dead gorgeous. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gift. The age of 33, that's what it is. The age of 33. You will be so impressed with what Allah's given you. So impressed, amused. You will be really so amused that you will be literally admiring your own self. Looking at what Allah's given you. Wow, is this what am I? Is this what I am? Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. The smiles. And even the teeth will be proper, mashallah. As you smile, you see the little, you know, like a little lightning come out. Not a bad one that strikes. Subhanallah. Forget about all these Colgate adverts and everything else. My mothers and sisters, beautiful smile, $1 million smile. Not even, because there won't be dollars there. But something really good, your hair, your whatever you look, you will look absolutely stunning. Don't worry, Allah will give it to you. He will definitely give it to you. He will definitely grant you. This is why in a place in the Quran, He says, "Kana ala rabbika wa'dan mas'ula." This is a promise made by Allah that you will question, you can question Him about. You hold Him responsible, literally. I mean, who would want to use those words for Allah? He uses them Himself. Mas'ul. Meaning you answerable. You will ask Him, "Oh Allah, you promised to give me this. Where is it?" Allah says, you can do that. But He will give it to you before you can even ask. So you won't need to. Subhanallah. Because He is the most truthful. So this is why don't get stressed when you hear about the virgins of Jannah. I don't even like to use the term virgins. Just use the word hur. Because it's an explanation that the English language does not qualify to put forward. Just use the word hur. There will be hur in Jannah. That's it. You don't need to translate it. There's no translation for it. And Allah says, these will be for the companions of the right, who are a company of the former people and a company of the later people. Remember earlier Allah said, a company of the former people and a smaller group of the later people. And we were saying the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were worried. So now Allah changed it. He gave us more information. What is the information? He says, a company of the former peoples and a company of the later peoples. And according to the hadith, it's actually correct both ways, because the number of people going into hellfire will be huge, but the bulk of them will be from Ya'juj and Ma'juj, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will take up the bulk of the spaces. So there will still be a large number of people in Jannah. And another thing is, when a person of the ummah goes into hellfire in order to be forgiven for the sins they may have committed, something very interesting is that they will not serve an eternal sentence there. They will just serve the sentence that is limited, and they will come out. They will be granted rejuvenation and placed into Jannah, given entry into Jannah thereafter, into paradise. So there will be two types of people, or three types of people in general. Two types of believers and one, those who are not believers. So those who worshipped or associated partners with Allah, worship deities besides Allah, they may be cast into hellfire by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to eternity. Eternity meaning no one forgives them. Allah says, "I won't forgive you. It's over." The whole test was rotating around this one simple thing. You had to worship me and me alone. No sticks, no stones, no saints, no trees, no anything. You must worship me, me alone, and directly me. That was your test. That was the only major test. It was like asking 1 plus 1. If you fail 1 plus 1, you cannot go beyond grade 1. Trust me. You cannot go beyond. So you failed that, so your whole stay in this world was all a failure. And if you pass that and then you committed a few sins here and there, but you only always worshipped Allah, you asked His forgiveness, you made sure you tried your best, but you only worshipped Allah alone, you understood, you respected the messengers, you understood Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets, the highest of all, the one who came to us with the message of Allah, but you did not render a single act of worship to Him or to Jesus, may peace be upon Him, or to any saint, or you did not have weird beliefs about prostrating to saints, or the fact that they are the ones whom we need to call out to because they are the ones who own a lot of angels, and so on and so forth. All these types of belief may earn us something we regret.
If you've understood all this and you abstain from all that which was wrong and bad, Allah says, no matter what you've done, after serving your time in hellfire, we will grant you entry into Jannah. And some, Allah says, we will just give them forgiveness because of a single deed that we loved that was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. It was difficult for them to do, but they did it for my sake. So if we see one deed in the life of a person who did not associate partners with Allah that we love, we will grant them Jannah in return. For example, a person who worshipped Allah alone and they had so many bad habits, but one day, for example, they were compassionate towards a dog or towards a cat. Allah may grant them Jannah because of that deed that was outstanding. So imagine if you are compassionate to a dog and you got Jannah for that. How about if you were compassionate to your own family members? Allahu Akbar. Allah might give you Jannah just because you kept your mouth shut when you wanted to swear. Allah might give you Jannah because you kept your mouth shut when you wanted to say hurtful words. And He knows how it was your habits from a long time to just blurt out whatever came to your mind before it actually came down through your eyes and nose, it was already uttered. But now you started holding back for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why we say these deeds, single deeds, don't underestimate their value. You might be a sinful person and you ask Allah's forgiveness constantly and you don't worship anything besides Allah and you found it very, very difficult to cover that head of yours. But you said, oh Allah, it's as difficult as it is for you, I will do it. And so it was done. And so imagine if Allah calls you out and says, listen, you've got a mountain full, 10 mountains full of evil deeds. But you worship me alone, and I noticed you did something for my sake when it was tough, an outstanding deed. I want to just let you know, through my mercy, I give you Jannah, no reckoning today. You can sail straight through. Go ahead. Allahu Akbar. That will happen, it can happen. The same applies to charity. Sometimes we become stingy, we don't give. We need to give, not everything you have, but give something. Reach out to people. And stop looking at what others are not doing. You know, we blame, oh, what are those people doing about the refugees? What are these people doing about this? What did you do, man? Allahu Akbar. We lose focus because we want to talk about others. Yeah, I donated. I donated 10 pounds. Okay, mashallah. 10 pounds out of the millions stashed away. Subhanallah. Well, as Zimbabweans, maybe we're a little bit excused. Allah forgive us. Astaghfirullah. To a certain extent, we may be not in such a brilliant position because of what we're going through. But trust me, everybody's going through something quite similar. Different nations, I mean, I've been traveling quite a bit, and everywhere there are people who are struggling and things are not as easy as they used to be, no matter where you go, subhanallah. I was watching rioting in a neighboring country just a few days ago, and it was absolute looting and everything, and wealthy people must have suffered big knocks. And we thank Allah for the peace and stability we have in this country. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Thank Allah, we're seated here. Alhamdulillah, we take it for granted. Imagine if Allah had to take away from you what you didn't thank Him for today. Allahu Akbar. I think most of our stuff would be gone. So going back to the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the numbers will be large from those of the former people as well as the later people. And the companions of the left, what are the companions of the left? They will be scorching in fire, scalding water, and a shade of black smoke, neither cool nor beneficial. Indeed, they were before that indulging in affluence. They may have been wealthy, they may have been comfortable, they may have been leading a life full of comfort and full of everything good. But at the same time, it was taken away because they were people of the left. The left meaning they got their hands, they got their books in the left hand. So Allah says, they used to persist in the great violation. What is the great violation? Association of partnership with Allah, shirk. Allah says in the Quran so many times that shirk is one thing that is really, really grave. I will not forgive it if you die without seeking forgiveness from it. This is why it's important for us to keep on talking about it. Keep on reminding. Don't be careful who you worship. Watch out, shaitan is coming. Shaitan promised Allah from day one that I will make them worship other humans. I will make them worship other creatures like sticks, like stones, like graves, like artifacts, like relics. Whatever else it is, we will respect respect things, we will not worship them. No rendering of worship. You worship Allah, Allah alone. Allah is the one who forgives you. Him alone will forgive you. Nobody else. Nobody else is the owner of forgiveness. Allah is the one who gives you good fortune. Allah protects you from misfortune. You seek from Him. Nobody else. No stone, no saint, no person whom you think is pious, no priest, no rabbi, no zero, nothing besides Allah, Allah alone. You put your head on the ground for Allah. He is the one who will grant you the goodness that you're searching for. He is the one who will grant you the cure. He is the knower of the unseen. Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So those who are at the biggest loss are those who associate partners with Allah. Here Allah says they will be the people of the left. They associated partners with Allah. They persisted in the great violation of shirk. And they used to say, when we die and become dust and bones, are we indeed going to be resurrected? And our forefathers as well. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell them, indeed the former and the later people, they will all be resurrected. They are going to be gathered together for an appointment of a known day. Then indeed you, O those who are astray, who are deniers, will be eating from the trees of Zakkum. Zakkum is the tree of Jahannam, or the trees of Jahannam. It's known as Zakkum, that which is extremely horrible. It is full of punishment. It causes the breaking up of the intestines. And filling with it your bellies, and drinking on top of it from the scalding water. Allahu Akbar. They will drink as the drinking of thirsty camels, because they will have to drink, but the drink that will be there will be full of blood and pus and boiling and bubbling liquid. That is their accommodation on the day of recompense. That's the day they will be given back in return for their deeds, the deeds they used to do. We have created you, so why do you not believe? Allahu Akbar. Allah says, we have created you, so why do you not believe? Inshallah, we're going to continue from there next week if Allah gives us the opportunity to do so. For now, my mothers and sisters, look at how Allah speaks about the beauty of the people of the right and the Jannah they will get and the goodness they will get. And after that, we all became frightened by the description of Jahannam once again. May Allah protect us. And to be honest, I need to end with the statement again. Let's protect ourselves from association of any form of partnership with Allah. You worship Allah alone. When you're worshipping, you need to imagine that you're worshipping Allah and Allah alone. You need to try and know that Allah is watching you. And if you can picture that you are worshipping, looking at Allah, then alhamdulillah. If not, then at least Allah is watching you. This is the meaning of the term ihsan. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. As though you are watching Him. You worship Allah as though you are watching Him. Now you have people who try and associate partners with Allah, make you associate partners with Allah by saying, no, don't imagine Allah. Just imagine your sheikh. This is a sheikh. So when you're worshipping, just picture him. When you're asking, just picture him. Because it's through him that Allah will give you. It's through him that your salah will be accepted. That is exactly the shirk we're talking about. That is exactly what Allah is referring to when He says, people worship others, and when you ask them, why are they doing it? They say, because we just want to get closer to Allah. We're too dirty to go directly to Allah. So we want to worship these awliya. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفًا. We are only worshipping them so that they can get us closer to Allah. The levels, they are on a higher level. Says who? If they're on a higher level, yes indeed they may be. But that doesn't mean you render an act of worship to them. Not at all. Be careful. Allah says, you want to picture, you try and picture the right thing. You don't imagine your sheikh when you're worshipping Allah. And then people say, no, after a while, you can transfer that imagination to Allah when you get to a higher level. What higher level? Islam is not some cult. Islam is not some, you know, something that has these scary, you know, dark levels where people are supposed to get from one point to another and so on in a way that the whole teaching changes. No, the teaching is the same. Your levels will be changing and going higher or lower based on your deeds regarding those particular teachings. It's not like the teachings change every level you're upon. So don't be fooled by people who say that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah help us. This is why a lot of people begin to worship their scholars. They begin to worship people. They begin to worship others whom they think are pious. It is the duty of those who are pious to ensure that they constantly tell people, we are just mere mortals like you. Perhaps we are worse. Just so that they keep them from crossing the little fine line between respect and worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in terms of belief. May He make us from among those who believes that He is indeed the supreme creator. He did not need help. He doesn't need help. He doesn't get tired. He won't get tired. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't require assistance. And He will not call upon anyone to assist Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.